A lot more emptier than last week. You notice that? Not unusual. Not unusual. So I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about doubt. How many of you believe that I have a $20 bill in my hand? How many of you believe I have a $20 bill in my hand? Right up there with turning invisible, isn't it? I can't believe that. I thought for sure someone would raise their hand, that someone at least would raise their hand and say, oh yeah, after I begged them to, they're up in the choir. Yeah. But I thought for sure that someone would believe that I had a $20 bill in my hand. Because if they had, what I was going to do, let's say, for example, Annika, okay? Let's say before you became so old and jaded, all right, that you still believed, all right? And so then what I would do is I would tell to Annika, I would say, well, Annika, I am getting ready to destroy your faith. And this is what I'm going to do. You see, I say I destroy her faith because now she can see. All right? It doesn't take faith anymore. When we can see, we don't need faith. A lot of people say seeing is believing. No. Seeing is knowing. Seeing is knowing. Faith is not seeing and yet trusting. And that's hard to do. That's very hard to do. There you go, Andrea. Faith should be rewarded, don't you think? Yes. All right. So, how many of you believe I have a $100 bill in my hand? Yeah. Well, some people are not to be trusted, and I have proven myself that way many times. Which is why you didn't raise your hand when you thought I might have a 20. Sometimes we think that we're not very good Christians because we have doubts. You know, we're still not sure. We've been Christians for a long time, but we're not sure. Doubts exist. We have times of uncertainty. That's when faith is needed. When doubts are gone, we don't need faith anymore. We have knowledge then. We need faith at those times when we are wrestling with our doubts. Honest faith requires honest doubt. It takes courage to doubt, to face our fears. That's what makes Thomas so amazing. I was telling that in the Sunday school class, in the Bible study. Thomas had honest doubt. Thomas also had honest faithfulness. If you're familiar with the Gospel of John, then you know, back in chapter 11, remember Lazarus died? They tell Jesus, hey, your friend died. He's sick. He's dying. And what does Jesus do? Doesn't do anything. Remember that? He doesn't do anything. He stays there 4 days. Then he decides he's going to go. A little bit late, but he's going to go to Jerusalem where they have wanted posters for him up all over the place. And he says, all right, I'm going to go. Who's the first one that says, let's also go with him that we might die with him? That's Thomas. Thomas. In fact, he's the only one who speaks up. He says, if he's going, I'm going. That's Thomas. Thomas is the one later on in chapter 14, you might remember, they're in the upper room. You ever sit in a class where you didn't think you belonged? You ever been in a class like that? All right, the teacher's going on and you're thinking, their lips are moving, but I do not know what they are saying. I know it's English, but it's like having a conversation with my son. He starts going off on chemistry and on calculus, and I'm like, uh-huh. I have no clue what he's talking. And the teacher's just going on. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And you know, you've seen the disciples. They're dumber than dirt. All right? And he's going on and on about, oh, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. It's Thomas who's brave enough to say, Jesus, We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Remember that. He was brave enough to ask the question. You ever been in a class where someone finally asks a question? And you're like, oh, thank you. You know. And then you look at him like, boy, you're stupid. What'd you say? Without Thomas's question, we never would have heard the promise. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We never would have heard that answer had Thomas not been brave enough to ask the question. It takes courage to admit your doubts. You've heard me say it many, many times. Faith is a muscle we use, not a pill we take. And we exercise our faith when we are willing to wrestle with our doubts, wrestling with the questions, wrestling with our uncertainty. That doesn't make us weak. That doesn't make us a non-Christian. That makes us a faithful Christian. One who's, look at this psalm, Psalm 13. It talks about that. Where are you, God? And you go through the whole psalm. My enemies are prevailing. I'm in pain. I can't see your face. Question after question after question. You read through the book of Psalms. You see that all the time. You read the book of Jude. Blessed are those who doubt. Verse 22. All the time. Somehow we've got it in our heads that doubt's wrong. No, doubt is a teacher. Doubt is a teacher that teaches us. As we exercise our faith, as we exercise that muscle, as we're willing to answer, not to answer, to wrestle with those questions, understanding we may never get the answer. At the end of Psalm 13, he doesn't come up with an answer. You know what he comes up with? Trust. I will trust in you. There's some beautiful contemporary music out there that they just, I will trust in you. I've got this challenge, that challenge. This isn't going. That's not going. Everything is falling apart. I've got pain and heartache in my life. And yet I am going to trust in you. That's what takes faith. When we can see the path clearly, we're not walking in faith. We're walking in certainty. We're walking in knowledge. And there are times when the Bible does provide us knowledge. There are times when the Bible does provide us certainty. But in a life of faith, there are times when there is uncertainty. There are times when we're wrestling with something we don't understand. And if we're honest with God, we have an opportunity to honestly be engaged. And out of that relationship, what grows isn't just our faith. What grows also is our trust. You think about any relationship you've been involved in. Trust grew. It grew. It wasn't an instantaneous thing. We came to develop trust. You get to know someone. You know that you can trust them. You get to have confidence in them. You know you have a friend. And all of a sudden that friend is there and is there. And pretty soon you know that that friend is there for you. We develop trust through our relationships. And when we're willing to wrestle with God or wrestle with our doubts, not only is our faith made stronger, our relationship with God is made stronger. We find ourselves willing to trust even when we have uncertainty, even when we can't see clearly, even when things aren't going our way, even when our heart continues to be broken, we continue to be able to trust in God. Not because we have answers, not because we have clarity, but because we have God. And we have that uncertainty. Years ago, some of you know I was a lifeguard, and the worst thing I hated was teaching swimming. It wasn't because of the kids, it was the parents. They are a nightmare. If you've ever coached Little League, you know what I'm talking about. Parents are just crazy. So I wasn't there. I wasn't there when this happened, but I heard about it. So this family decided that they were going to teach their kids how to swim. They didn't want the lifeguards to do it. They were going to do it. Which was a relief for us because they were those parents. Not that we have anybody like that here, but you know when I say those parents, okay? All right, so what they had done, all right, so they have a baby who's an infant, okay, and then they have a 3-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old daughter, and what they had basically said is water is poison and it will kill you, and if you touch it, you will die. Okay, and now you're going to teach them to swim, okay, because they wanted that whole fearful thing, and they went so overboard with it, You know, these kids were afraid to take a drink of water, let alone, you know, they're coming in now to a pool. And so they recognize that they're mistaken. Now they're trying to say, okay, but it can be friendly. Water can be your friend, you know. So the dad is in the water. Mom has to take the baby, change the baby. So the three-year-old is sitting on the side, and the five-year-old is sitting on the side, all right? Dad is right there in the water, all right? And he's trying to coax the five-year-old. It's okay, Mallory. It's okay, Mallory. Daddy's right here. It will be okay. Come on into the water. And Mallory, of course, is having nothing to do with it. You know, I'm not going into that water. I know what's going to happen. And three-year-old Lori, playing, you know how kids are just kind of like not paying any attention? Isn't paying any attention, and guess what happens? Falls in. Boom. Now, Dad is right there. Dad is right there. Picks her, but of course, she got wet, all right? And her head went under the water. He picks her up, and she lets out a scream, all right? It is still echoing around the world. I drowned it! I drowned it! Just going on, panicked. I drowned it! And he's like, Laurie, you didn't drown. I'm in your, I've got you. You let me drown it. You let me drown it. Just going on and on. Laurie, I had eyes on you. I have arms on you. I have hands on you. You let me drown it. I'm going to tell Mom. Okay, let's not tell Mom about what happened, okay? Sometimes we think that we're into a challenge and we forget that there are eyes on us. Lori, in her panic and her fear, forgot that her dad had eyes on her the whole time. Forgot that he had arms ready to hold her, hands that would lift her up. Forgot out of her fear. There are times when we will not have certainty. There are going to be times when we are going to have doubt. That does not make us a weak Christian. That does not mean that we don't believe. It does mean that we have an opportunity to trust. To be able to trust without certainty, to be able to trust without knowledge, to be able to trust out of the depth of love that God has for us. We have an experience with God. We know that God has been with us in the past. And no matter what challenge we're facing right now, no matter what challenges is currently coming up to us, no matter what the situation may be, we know and can trust, not because we have an answer, not because we have great faith, but because we have a great God. You remember the book of Job, the wrestling match that unfolds chapter after chapter after chapter. And the wonderful thing about Job is his honesty. He takes God to task. Remember that? And his pious friends, you know how you have those pious friends? They always have the cliches, the little bumper sticker theology that is absolutely worthless. It will not sustain you in a time of trouble. And they're coming to say, well, you did this wrong, or you didn't do this right. If only you would try this. You know how somebody's always looking to do that? Find a quick and easy solution to your problem? Only Job is honest enough to say, hey, this isn't right. And you remember what happens at the end of the book? Who gets in trouble? Job's friends. God's like, really? Really? You guys? Really? You guys were worthless. Job needed honest friends who could wrestle with him in honest doubt so that they could come to an honest faith. If you remember the end of the book of Job, he never does get an answer. You know what he gets instead? He gets the presence of God. When we are willing to engage in a wrestling match with doubt, God will always be present. That's what happens here at this table. We just celebrated that. Remember the night when Jesus was betrayed. We say it every week at this table. What we remember first, though, is that Jesus was in a garden and he prayed. Remember? Take it away. He wrestled with the doubt of the mission, wrestled with what was being asked of him, wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and yet we celebrate the presence of God in this loaf and in this cup. the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, when we are willing to engage in the wrestling match, we are able to feel the abiding presence of God. And in that presence, we are able to trust in God's love and in God's grace. Amen.